Thank you, Tony. God's love is amazing, isn't it? It is amazing that He would love us, that He has loved us the way He's loved us, by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 18. And since Tony has sang, I will preach. Now, we had a conversation a few moments ago before the service started. Somebody had asked me if I was preaching, and I said, yes, I am, and if I can't, Tony will fill in. And then Tony began to hand me that microphone and said, well, you sing. I said, I'll go preach. Thank you. I'm thankful that God has gifted men and women to sing like that. He did not give me that gift, but I can make a joyful noise. All right. John chapter 18. Our focus tonight will be verse 11, but I would like to start at verse 1. And we'll read verses 1 through 11 and again focus on verse 11. Title of tonight's message is Obedience is Not Optional. Obedience is not optional. Let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 18 in John. When Jesus had spoken these words, and I need to pause so that we understand where we're coming from. Coming right out of John chapter 17, this great prayer of our Lord, where He prays to His Father in heaven, knowing that the cross is ever before Him, knowing what lies ahead, knowing what's getting ready to happen. He prays to the Father, asking that the Father would be glorified. He's asking, in a sense, is there any other way to fulfill this? And God has made it very clear to Him, no, that what's ahead of you, the cross, must be accomplished. And Christ prays for His disciples in this great prayer in chapter 17. And He prays for me and you. And then off the heels of that, we enter into chapter 18. And it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, He went out with His disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden which He and His disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed Him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with His disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to Him, came forward and said to them, whom do you seek? Now, if this was me, I'd have ran the other way. If I knew it was getting ready to happen to me, I would not be asking, are you looking for me? Right? And that's what Jesus does. Verse 5. They answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am He. Judas, who betrayed Him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, I am He, they drew back and fell to the ground. So He asked them again, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am He. So if you seek Me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the word that He had spoken. Of those whom You gave Me, I have lost not one. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Now here's the verses. Here's the verse, the words I want us to focus on tonight. Jesus, knowing what's ahead of Him, attempting not to get out of it, not to go another path, not to look for different options, not to phone a friend, said this, shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? Now, in context, Jesus is talking about the cross. He's talking about what's lying before Him, the trial, the beating, the scourging. And He's talking about going to the cross and the sinless Lamb of God bearing your sin and my sin. That's what He's speaking of here. And not only bearing the sins of the world, the entire world, you stack all your sins up as high as they'll go. And yours and everyone else has ever lived was placed on Christ. That's the cup He was drinking. But not only that, there was something else in that cup. And that was the very wrath of God. His wrath towards sin. Christ drank the cup. He drank it all down. He did not look for another cup. He did not wish that the cup was halfway poured out. He drank it all. What God had intended for Him, Christ was obedient to. See, Christ knew that obedience to the Father was not optional. And He obeyed every part of it. He kept the law perfectly. He was tempted yet without sin, right? He lived a sinless life. Philippians would tell us that he was obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Christ was completely obedient. And that is the cup that he drank, the cross itself, crucifixion, the beating, the sins that he would bear for us, the wrath of God, God's holy and righteous wrath poured out upon the sinless one. Christ bore it. He was sacrificed for me and you, the one who did not deserve death, died in our place. We would call that the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. He took our place and our penalty on the cross, and he bore it. And he died, and they buried him in a grave. And 3 days later, you know what happened. They raised him, or God raised him from the dead. And he sits in heaven, and he reigns on high today. That was the cup that he drank, and he took it obediently. See, Christ knew, again, that obedience to the Father was not optional. And tonight, I want us to look at this example, just using verse 11. I want us to look at this example of obedience, this example that Christ set before us of obedience. It's not optional. You know, we live in a day of options, don't we? There's a popular fast food chain that, I don't know if they still have the slogan, but they did. You can have it your way right away, right? Make anybody hungry? We're going to eat in just a little bit, okay? Hang in there. You can have it your way right away. We have options. You pull up a website that sells something, that has catalogs, that you name it. Your favorite website to shop on, whether it be Walmart or whatever else. There's tons of options, right? Sherry yesterday put in a to-go order at Walmart. We stopped by today after lunch and picked up that to-go order. You just pull right up, you check in, and they bring you your order out. And I guess one of the items that she ordered was ravioli. Well, do you know that they have regular ravioli and mini ravioli and round ravioli and square ravioli and all kind of ravioli? And the guy come out and said, we had to substitute some items. We didn't have the regular ravioli. We had to give you the mini ravioli. And I'm like, is there ravioli in the can? He's like, yes. I said, we'll eat it. You know? I mean, there's all kind of options. We live in an optional world in a sense. Most of you have bought a car, right? Some of you have bought brand new cars. You go to the dealership, they ask you about options. Do you want this? Do you want that? Does it have this? Does it have that? I don't like this. Options, right? Clothes have options. I mean, everything in our society, in our day, has options, doesn't it? Obedience does not. See, it's not optional. And what I want tonight is I want our church to remember that obedience to God, it's not cheap, it's not negotiable, and it's not optional. That's the truth of it. So tonight, I want to give us five truths. Just five truths I want you to consider. They're simple. Five truths for us to ponder, each one of us. Just not you, but me as well. Five truths for us to ponder. And the first truth is this. Obedience to God comes from a love for God. Obedience to God comes from a love for God. See, our obedience is driven by something. And our obedience is driven by our love for Him. Our love for God, our love for Jesus Christ. That's what our obedience is driven by. John 14, 15 would say this. Jesus told His disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. 1 John 3, verses 23 through 24 say this. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides or lives or dwells in God and God in him. And by this we know that He abides or lives in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. See, our obedience to God comes from a love for God. I believe it was James Dobson that used to say, rules without a relationship leads to rebellion, right? Everybody's probably familiar with that. Well, I want to submit to you that obedience without a lack of love for God leads to rebellion. It leads to pain. It leads to a lack of desire of obeying. Folks, we must love God in order to obey Him. And if we know God, we are to obey Him. See, love for God drives our obedience. Without a love for God, your obedience will either be superficial or non-existent. Me and you will not obey God apart from a love from God. And check this out. We love Him because He what? First loved us. Who made the initial move in that love? It was God. By sending His Son, Jesus Christ, for us. And because He loved us first, me and you can love Him back in return. And because we love Him, we obey Him. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking about those little boys that will play with the train tracks, right? Picture it in your mind. That little boy's got his box full of trains. He's got his tracks out there, and he sets them out on the floor, right? And what does he do? I mean, he makes the noises. He moves them all around. What's moving that? The little boy. The train's not moving itself, is it? Not in that scenario. The little boy's moving them around. What moves our obedience toward God? It's our love for Him. That's what it is. Christ, here, in this example, Christ loved the Father. Christ prayed that God would be glorified. Christ desired that God would be glorified. Christ obeyed the Father out of a love for God. And it's our example tonight that obedience to God comes from a love for God. That's the first truth. The second truth is this. Obedience to God comes at a high cost. Obedience to God comes at a high cost. See, obedience will cost you something. It costs Christ His life. And obedience, for me and you, it will cost us something. See, those who obey and follow after Christ, you heard it this morning, they do what? They deny themselves daily, right? They pick up their cross and they follow after Jesus. To obey Jesus, to obey God, it will cost you. It's not a cheap obedience. In our day, we want cheap obedience. We want the easy way, don't we? I want the painless way, right? But that is not what's designed. Keep your place in John 18, but turn to Luke 14. And it'll be a very familiar passage for you. Luke chapter 14. And I just want to read verses 25 through 33. They're similar to what you heard this morning from Mark chapter 8 from our pastor. But in Luke 14, you have Jesus giving this account. It's the cost of discipleship. For those who want to follow Christ, just not obedience, but give their allegiance, give their life to Christ, it will cost them something. And this is what he says, verse 25. Now, great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now we know in verse 26, Christ is not telling us that we are to hate anyone, correct? Especially our family. But if you allow Scripture to interpret Scripture, we know that hate is sin, correct? But what he's using is these terms of comparison. And what he's saying is when people view your love for me compared to your love for others, they should say, wow, they love him, Christ, God, so much that it seems as if they hate others. But we're not to hate one another. Let's keep going. Verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Now, they wouldn't do that in their day. They wouldn't do that in our day, would they? Set out to build something and not count the cost, not make sure he had enough lumber, enough material, right? That'd be foolish. You count the cost. Let's continue on. Verse 31. Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Here's what I want you to see from this. It will cost you everything to follow Jesus. But there's something else on that, on the other side of that coin. It will cost you everything not to follow Jesus. And that is eternity separated from God in hell. Obedience, discipleship, following Christ comes at a high cost. Are you willing to pay it? See, we don't like to pay the price when it comes to obedience, do we? See, those who excel at sports, they pay the price. They work hard. They put in the sweat, right? Those who excel in the classroom, in academics, typically what? They put in hours of study, right? Now, I know all you getting ready to go to school tomorrow morning have studied your books this weekend, right? All right, I see Colby shaking his head, yes. Do you know where your books are? Right. Those who excel in the classroom, they work at it, right? They're willing to pay what? The price. They're willing to pay the cost. All right? It costs. We're in a society that doesn't like the cost, right? We don't like hard things, do we? I mean, if we were showing hands, and please don't, but how many just like a good hard day of work every day? Some do, but many do, right? I'd rather have a light day. Right? All right? See, we're in a society that doesn't like cost, but we must pay the price of obedience. Whatever it is God has called you to, you must be willing to obey. See, we don't like hard obedience, do we? Obedience can be hard, can't it? I mean, there are times where God puts us in certain tasks or certain situations where the right thing to do, and we know the right thing to do at that time, it's hard. And we what? We don't want to do it. Right? See, obedience costs. Obedience to God costs. We want cheap obedience. We want easy obedience. We want convenient obedience. Right? I tell you, the storm that is impending, one of the things I dread the most about the storm, and it's not a fearful dread, but it's kind of one of those. Some of you might relate. I don't want to go without AC for a few days, okay? Of all the things that could happen, I'm sitting here with my creature comfort saying, you know, Lord, if you can spare the air conditions, right? We want convenient obedience. We want cheap obedience. We want easy obedience. That's the second truth. The third truth is this about obedience. Obedience to God is not negotiable. We negotiate a lot of things in our life, don't we? You negotiate in your relationships. You and your spouse negotiate on things. You and your children at times negotiate on things. A lot of times it is what it is because dad said so, right? There's no negotiation. You negotiate at work. You negotiate with various things. But see, obedience to God is not negotiable. Christ did not try to negotiate with God. There was none there. Turn back to John 18. Again in verse 11. Again, Christ is saying, shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me? I mean, he's not asking for a negotiation here. He's not asking for a discount. See, he accepted the will of the Father and was obedient to God. See, I think there are times, let me speak for myself. Let me not speak for you tonight. There are times I try to negotiate with God in regard to obedience. Where God is directly in his word and through his spirit shown me a task at hand or placed me in a situation that I might not like. And I begin to try to negotiate with God. Well, God, how about we do it this way? How about we do it that way? Well, you know, God, if you were to just do it this way, it might work out a little better. Might be a little easier on me, right? See, obedience is not negotiable. See, we want to negotiate with God. We've all done it. And God has given us commands in the Bible that we must obey. God has directed someone in your path. Be obedient. Don't try to bypass that person. See, God has brought you to a certain task or certain plan so that you will obey. Try not to negotiate with him. See, when we negotiate with God, this is when we pull out our coupon book of negotiation. We pull out a little coupon book or we ask for a discount. We go to God with this coupon and say, well, you know, God, a 50% off coupon and this obedience would be very nice, right? See, God doesn't print discount books. God doesn't print coupon books. God doesn't print coupon cards when it comes to obedience. We are to obey Him fully. He doesn't negotiate there. God is not selling obedience discount books. God is not selling obedience discount cards. God is not selling rewards perk cards. God is not saying there is an app you can download to your smartphone that will get you out of this or that or keep you from this. Obedience to God is not negotiable. But the fourth truth is this. Obedience to God is not optional. It's not optional. If he wanted to give us another way, He would give it to us. Right? We don't get to ask for a discount. See, to know to do right and not to do it is what? Sin. That's what James would tell us. So obedience to God is not optional. Think of Jonah. God commanded him to go to Nineveh and to preach a simple message. Repent. Repent. Repent of your sins and turn toward God in faith. Place your faith in the Savior. We would know that today to be Jesus Christ. And Jonah did not want to do that, did he? Jonah wanted to consider obedience optional, so he ran, didn't he? Right? Would you agree? He ran. Now God in His grace and His mercy and His love pursued Jonah even into the depths of the sea. And He was merciful to him. And Jonah repented. And God made that old smelly fish spit him up on the land, right? Jonah was going to be obedient, wasn't he? Jonah marched to Nineveh. What happened when he got there? He preached a message, but he was upset after that, right? Jonah began to negotiate his obedience at that point. We can be just like that. And what I want us to see tonight is obedience is not negotiable and obedience is not optional. Now, none of us have this down pat. We all struggle with obedience. If you don't, I won't speak with you after service, okay? I want to know what you're doing. No, we all struggle with obedience. But obedience is not optional. The final truth I want us to see tonight in this passage is obedience to God can be hard. It can be hard. It can be hard to fully obey. It should be a joy to obey because we love Him. But it can be hard, can it? You know, Christ... And you may have the verses up here in just a minute. And Matthew 11 would say this about coming to Him, all those who are heavy laden. And He says, come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. While obedience can be hard, if we will turn to Christ and take His yoke that He has, it says right here that His yoke, it is light. That when we follow after Christ, when we bear His yoke that He places upon us, it is light. When we turn to Christ in faith, He'll place that light yoke upon us. If we're all honest tonight, we don't care for obedience a whole lot, do we? I mean, if we were just honest. Within us, we have a desire to obey many times, don't we? But there are times where we don't desire to do what we know to do. There are times in my life where I face the right thing to do, and yet it's the hard thing. And I try to look for ways to make it an easy thing. And that's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to love Him. He's called us to love others. He's called us to obey Him. So folks, tonight, I hope as we've looked at obedience through the lens of John 18, verse 11, through how Christ drank the cup of obedience that God had set before Him, that we too, seeing that example, would desire to obey our God and Father. See, obedience to God, it comes from a love for God. And obedience to God, it comes at a high cost. Some in here may pay a higher cost than others. Obedience to God, it's not negotiable. It's not optional. And indeed, it can be hard. Let's pray.